From the campus of WQLN Public Media in beautiful Erie, Pennsylvania, it's WQLN Radio's showcase of rising stars and visiting virtuosos. Live from Studio Q, here's your host, Brian Hanna.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Live from Studio Q. We're coming to you live from the Learning Center on the campus of WQLN Public Media on Upper Peach Street. And today we have a special treat for you. This is a little preview of the Erie Philharmonic concert this Saturday night, November 4th at the Warner Theater. I'll tell you about the program first, and then we'll get a little more in depth as the program goes on. But there are three pieces of music on tomorrow night's program, pieces of music that you don't always get to hear. They're very overlooked pieces of music, beginning with we're going to hear Arvo Pärt's beautiful Fratres. It's a wonderful piece, very underperformed here. We're also going to hear Richard Strauss's Also Sprach Zarathustra. We're going to hear it in its entirety, not just the 2 minutes of it that you might know from the film 2001 A Space Odyssey, but also on this program is a performance of the Shostakovich Cello Concerto. An intense, beautiful piece, very typically Shostakovich. There's a lot of drama, a lot of beauty, one of the finest cello cadenzas I can think of. It's a beautiful piece. And the soloist that the Philharmonic picked for this particular performance is one of the finest young cellists in the world today, Narek Hakhnazarian. He's an Armenian cellist. He won the gold medal for cello in 2011 at the International Tchaikovsky Competition. That would have made you 23, roughly? 22. He was 22 when he won that, which is pretty impressive. Even more impressive is in 2006, he won the Aram Khachaturian International Competition. That was pretty spectacular, too. This is one of the finest young cellists in the world. Joining him on piano today is our friend Dr. Nathan Hess from Mercyhurst University. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Narek Hakhnazarian.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Of course, Narek Haknazarian on cello, Dr. Nathan Hess on piano. This is the Rachmaninoff vocalese. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. And we're going to let Narek tell us a little bit about his own story, but I can fill you in to start. Hi, Narek. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Now, I was reading in your bio here that you were born and raised in Armenia, and you began studying cello at the age of 6.
Yes.
And then when you turned 11, you left and you went to Moscow to study at the Moscow Conservatory. And that same year, you already won the Arm Khachaturian competition. It was pretty fast.
Not quite.
No?
Everything till the Arm Khachaturian competition was absolutely accurate. But I moved to Moscow when I was 11, but I won Arm Khachaturian competition in 2006 when I was 17.
Oh, okay. Still.
Yes. Well, yeah, still young.
Still impressive. It's still impressive. We'll have to go to Wikipedia and change some of your biography things. But
oh, is it on Wikipedia? Okay.
Yeah, it's on Wikipedia. Yeah, yeah, you're famous. You have a.
I never even checked it. You know, so.
Well, how did you end up in Erie, Pennsylvania? How did you get the phone call?
Well, my managers got the phone calls. That's what managers are for, you know, to get the phone calls. Also, this concert, in a way, it's really a perfect timing because, well, first of all, I never been in Erie. I never played with Erie Philharmonic, and I'm very excited about it. And second, this fits perfectly in my schedule of my tour in U.S. and Canada. Because tomorrow we are playing with Erie Philharmonic, and next day I'm actually playing an afternoon solo recital in Toronto, and next day I'm going to East Lansing to start my tour with Moscow State Symphony Orchestra around a few cities in the United States.
Now, you've played with some pretty big orchestras. This is your first time in Erie, but the most impressive I noticed, you, of course, have played with the London Symphony Orchestra and the BBC Concert Orchestras, but you also substituted for Yo-Yo Ma with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra?
I did, yes. It was about...
No pressure?
No. No, of course. It was a very big responsibility because... Not just Yo-Yo is one of the most famous and greatest cellists alive, but what is more important to me, that he's actually one of my favorite cellists. Because unfortunately in music, not only in music, not the fame doesn't necessarily mean the quality. But in the case of Yo-Yo Ma, it's absolutely deserved, and I mean, he's fantastic. And of course, when I got a phone call, it wasn't a last minute change. I was notified a few months before. So it was a subscription concert played by Yo-Yo, free concerts, same program, three nights. So he was playing two out of three nights, and the third night I was playing. So the pressure was bigger because of that, because I wasn't just replacing Yo-Yo, I was replacing him the next day after he played the same piece with same orchestra. So that was tough. That was tough. A very big.
How'd you do?
We should ask audience probably. Well, I think I fulfilled the expectations. I hope, and of course, it's a very high level, high plank. Is it right. The right way to say in
right,
English?
Of course.
Yeah, to reach. And I'm very happy that we met with Yo-Yo. We talked a little bit. I even played on his cello for a couple hours. His legendary Davidoff Stradivarius cello. And it was really a fantastic story. He just told me, hey, do you want to play on my cello? I said, yes, of course. And he said, okay, tomorrow morning after rehearsal, I have a meeting with someone important, some business meeting, and you can just play the cello and then just put it back in a case and leave it in a dressing
room. Did you switch them out?
Of course, of course. And you know what's the most interesting? That nobody still hasn't noticed.
That's
that,
good.
That
we're
I switched them.
We're going to run with this. So there's a $10 million cello sitting on the floor here at WQLN right now.
Yes, yes.
Also, you were mentored early on by one of the greatest conductor and cellists ever, Mstislav Rostropovich. Did you actually take lessons with him?
Yes, I took many lessons, and he really mentored me last few years of his life. I was very lucky to be able to live, to be born a few years, exactly when I was born, not a few years later, and to be able to study with Maestro Rostropovich, because it was a lifetime experience to work with him on a pieces of all the Soviet composers, his friends, including Shostakovich Concerto, which I'm going to play tomorrow. Yeah, and he actually created those pieces with composers. So he partly co-composed those pieces, and hearing all those stories, all those memories, it's really priceless.
And Daniel Meyer told a great story, the music director of the Erie Phil, when we were chatting the other day, that he got to work with him a little bit and see him conduct. And he said he was trying to explain a piece of music, and he sat down at the piano and played it with concert pianist quality performance. So not only was he a well-established, probably one of the most famous cellists to ever live, and a great conductor, but he was also a fantastic musician all around, pianist, cellist, conductor.
He was. I mean, he for me, Rostropovich is not. He never was at the first place for me a cellist, conductor, pianist, or even musician. He was one of the greatest personalities of 20th century, in my opinion, and I'm pretty sure he would succeed and be same legend in any field, any profession he would choose. Because he was really such an impressive and strong personality, and a personality who gathered people around him. He was like a magnet, and I can say for sure that he's been gone for more than 10 years, but till now you can find probably 10 million people around the world who are convinced that they were his best friends. even he met them once, shook their hand once, or had one shot of vodka with them. He gave them that feeling. He had that ability to give you a feeling that you are so important, you are so special.
That's a great story. And you know, we've lived so close to so many of these great performers and educators and composers. You know, it's just years ago was Shostakovich. Many people were alive when Shostakovich was still alive. Mm-hmm. And now let's talk about the Shostakovich Cello Concerto for a little bit. There's a lot that goes into this piece. It's a pretty intense piece, and it also features a really wonderful cadenza, which is almost a movement by itself. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Shostakovich Cello Concerto? What can we expect tomorrow night with your Erie Philharmonic?
Well, Shostakovich Cello Concerto number 1 is probably one of the most sincere and deepest and brave pieces written by Shostakovich, because it was written in end of 1950s, a few years after Stalin died, and I think many of you probably know about that pressure which Shostakovich had during Stalin's life, and in this concerto there are actually quite brave moments when he makes fun of Stalin, because in the last movement there is a theme which is kind of a variation and sarcastic version of Stalin's favorite Georgian folk song, Suliko. So he put that in the score in this sarcastic and really in kind of a disrespectful way, and which he would never be able to be done if Stalin would be alive. Right. So it's a very, very brave piece, and you saw, I sort of, when I play it, I feel that he just releases his all, everything what he got inside for all those years and years.
It's a pretty intense piece, you know, and he loved the themes that he used, and he used them over and over in other pieces of music. There's a theme you're going to hear right at the beginning that makes its way back and forth throughout the entire cello concerto that he also used in the movie score for The Young Guards, and he also used it in one of his string quartets. It's something that's very personal to him. Yeah. And it opens with the theme. It's a pretty aggressive beginning. It's all cello right at the beginning.
Well, that opening theme, it's actually it's four notes, and it's it's a little bit changed version of his signature in music. DSCH, Dmitri Shostakovich. So D, E flat, which in Europe is ES. C and H. To, 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 to. So that's his signature four notes. But in the concerto, it's dom, pom, pom, pom. So it's a little bit changed version, but it's the same type of, he makes the statement from the very beginning.
And he's not the first one to do that. There's the Bach theme in the Bach fugues, where Bach used his own name also. It's a brilliant concerto. It's very intense. If you want to join us, we would love for you to join us at the Erie Philharmonic tomorrow night, 8 o'clock at the Warner Theater. I do a pre-concert chat at 7:15. Those are always a lot of fun. If you've never attended one of those, more information is available at eriephil.org or by calling 455-1375. I'm pretty sure somebody's standing by to take your calls right now if you're listening. Why don't I give you a few minutes to rest and get ready for another piece of music, and then we're going to talk to Steve Weiser for just a couple of seconds, and then we'll be back with Narek Haknazarian and Nathan Hess in just a few minutes. But Steve Weiser, how are you? Welcome back to the WQLN studio.
Thanks, Brian. Good to be back.
Busy week for you.
At the Erie Phil, we don't do anything small. So we had our Brubeck concert was last weekend. During the course of this week, we did three youth concerts for about 6,000 students, which just wrapped up yesterday afternoon. And we go right back at it for this weekend's concert. So we basically have five concerts for 9,000 people in 7 days.
That's a little bit of an undertaking.
Definitely. But I look at it as what would almost wipe out a staff of six? And then let's just try it and see what happens.
Have you succeeded? That's the important question.
It depends if anyone's on the other end of the phone calls that people are calling the office for. So,
well, this is a pretty intense concert. Again, it's coming right off the tails of a concert last week with the Brubeck Brothers Quartet. And now you jump right into one of the most complicated and intense symphonic concerts we've heard in Erie in years.
It really is. And to start with the sort of the sparseness that is Fratres and then end with one of the biggest works written for orchestra. And I know we talk about sort of what it sounds like when you have 100 musicians on stage, but we've been at rehearsal now for 2 days to hear this. And it's a sound like you've never experienced before. Even when you have an orchestra that has 70 people on stage, that's loud, but the Warner Theater's big. But when you put 91 bodies on that stage and they're all playing as loud as they can, it is an incredible sound.
It's 91 bodies including an organ. So that's actually adding to this. And in case you aren't aware, the Strauss, Also Sprach Zarathustra, uses one of the largest orchestras ever required.
It really does. It requires you to use extra violins than you would ever use, pretty much more string players than you would ever use in a normal orchestra, 7 French horns, 2 tubas, percussion and organ. It is an amazing sound. It really, really is. And it's fun because obviously we know the 2 minutes of it that everybody knows. And when people see and they see Zarathustra, people are like, well, I can't spell it. I don't understand what that means. It doesn't matter. You don't need to understand anything about it. You just need to know that the sound that fills that hall is incredible.
And this is something you need to see. Also Sprach is something that you hear 2 minutes of probably 10, 15 times a year. But to hear the entire 40-minute piece, which is everything from horrifying to lovely, you never get to hear this. This is something you might not hear again in Erie for maybe another 25, 30 years. So you might want to make your way down to the Warner Theater Saturday night.
No, if you look at, we've been around now for 104 seasons, this is the first time that we've ever played this piece in its entirety. And that's another neat thing, is when you look at the orchestra, and there's probably not a lot of musicians on stage that have ever actually had a chance to play all of it. And we looked on IMDb, and I think it's been used in over 223 films and TV shows. So it's definitely something everybody knows, but getting to hear all of it, even with 90 musicians on stage, there are some spots that are so quiet. It's eerie to see how quiet that big of a group can play and then still how much sound they can put out.
Strauss is if you're familiar with Richard Strauss and you know any of his tone poems, Don Juan Till Eulenspiegel, the transparency that this composer, he's one of the finest orchestrators ever to live on the planet. And you might not hear this for another 104 years. So if you're interested in this concert, again, it's eriephil.org. And also on the concert, Arvo Pärt, he's an Estonian composer who is the most performed living composer, according to Bach tracks, for 6 or 7 years in a row now, which means his music is performed more than that of John Adams, more than John Williams, more than Philip Glass, more than Eric Whitaker. he's very popular everywhere but Erie, Pennsylvania.
Right, and I know it was, ironically, we did it a few years ago with a chamber orchestra, and it was one of the last pieces I played as a percussionist. Ironically, I got to play the clave part. But it's incredible. It starts very, very soft. It sort of builds in a very similar theme throughout the course of the piece, and then it features a bass drum and one clave player. But again, I can't wait to hear what 35 string players sound like doing this on that stage. It's going to be good.
And this is a strangely orchestrated piece. It has no real official orchestration. You could play this with 3 people, bass drum and claves, or you could play it with 30 people and bass drum and claves. So it leaves it up to the orchestra. So they're doing this with a little bit bigger ensemble than you would normally hear this. And also in the concert, of course, the Shostakovich cello concerto. You don't get to hear this in Erie very often either, do we?
No, I think it's been a couple years since we've done another Shostakovich concerto like this, and I believe it's been a while since we've actually performed this one. But it's one of my favorite composers. As a percussionist, I've always loved to play it. And it's your good quintessential, scary, epic, sad, sorrowful music that makes Shostakovich sound as good as he is.
Now, there's a lot going on at the Erie Philharmonic. You've got some great soloists. Not only do you have a winner of the Tchaikovsky competition joining us, Nara Khaknazarian, for this concert, but you and the Brubeck brothers were just here. You've had a whole year, Lena Urioste and Nick Katalakis, who's also been hosting performance today. If you've been listening, Nick was just here as a cello soloist a couple of weeks ago. And Michael Brown, great composer. Some great soloists coming through this year, and you've got a lot more still on the docket this year, including my favorite guitarist ever, Sharon Isbin.
Right, so coming up in January, we probably have what's going to be another huge concert with Scheherazade and the Britten 4C interludes. And then we thought, why not make a good concert better and have Sharon Isbin play? So that's, again, we're really looking forward to that. And then Bugs Bunny is right on the heels of that just a couple weeks later with 2 performances.
So. Is he coming in himself for the concert?
There's a costume, and... No, there's not a costume, thankfully. Because if there was, I'd probably be the one that'd have to wear it. So.
And Matthew back at the Phil office was panicked just for a minute there. So, and also, you're not just doing concerts for 9,000 people this week, picking great soloists to come in, making sure that everything's running smoothly. Well, you've got other events going on, too. You've got a holiday tour of homes coming up.
Exactly. So when we do youth concerts for 6,000 students, we have to find funding for that. And these special events that we do across the community are one of the best ways that we raise funds for the outreach events. So it's next weekend, November 11 and 12, our holiday tour of homes. We have 7 new locations this year. They're fabulous. Every single one of them I wish was my house. Unfortunately, you get to tour these houses and help decorate and then leave. And it's like, ugh. I don't live at these nice houses, but it's really fabulous. So it's, again, next weekend. Tickets are on sale now. They're definitely going fast. And we have 5 of the 7 houses are right downtown on 6 streets and beautiful mansions, some really nice places, and then 2 out in the suburbs.
And these aren't just decorated. Florists come in, interior decorators come in. They completely deck these homes out in the finest holiday finery.
No, if you look in a magazine for what a house would look like when it's decorated, these are those magazine photos. It really is. And I know we just had some pictures in the Lake Erie Lifestyle, and there were some really nice sort of teaser photos. And there's even more than what you see there.
Can you find information at eriefill.org?
Eriefill.org/hometour. Look at that. It's easy, exactly.
Well, if you'd like more information on the Phil, all the information's on the website. It's an easy-to-navigate website. But, you know, if you're not internet familiar, just call them. 455-1375. They'll handle everything for you. Steve Weiser, thanks for joining us. I know you're just waiting for a little bit more cello music, and Narc is falling asleep while he's waiting for us to finish here. So we've got another piece of music coming up here next, and this looks like it's variations on one string. Do you want to give us a little introduction?
Yes, it's a piece written by probably the most legendary violinist of all times, Niccolo Paganini. It's for violin, of course. This piece is written for violin. It's a transcription for cello, but there is a legend about this piece that Paganini was performing this piece on 4 strings on a concert, and then 3 of his strings got broken, one after another, and he was standing on stage left with only 1 string, and he had to finish the piece on 1 string, and that's how this idea came up and he wrote this piece. It's quite often performed on violin, but much more rare on cello, because playing on 1 string requires more speed and more covering of a distance on a fingerboard on cello than on violin. So I'll try to do that now.
And before we start, is your cello anything we should know? Is this a famous cello?
Yes, this is actually ex-Janos Starker cello. Joseph Filius Guarneri made in 1707. Yeah, I'm very honored to play this cello.
Well, you make it sound even more special than it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Narek Hakhnazaryan and Nathan Hess.
Thank you.
Arik Haknazarian, cello. Dr. Nathan Hess joining him on piano from Mercyhurst University. Thank you, Nathan, so much. So what are you going to do for an encore now? Thank you so much.
My encore will be tomorrow.
tomorrow night. Exactly. His encore will be tomorrow night at the Erie Philharmonic. More information on this concert. You do not want to miss this performance with this fine young artist. Maybe a while before you get to see him here in Erie again. Take advantage by giving a call to 455-1375, or you can visit the Erie Phil on the web at eriephil.org. Thank you so much, Narek, for coming in and spending some time with us here today at WQLN. Thank you, Dr. Hess, Nathan Hess, for joining us from Mercyhurst University, one of the area's finest pianists. And thank you to our audience here live at the WQLN studios and at home for joining us for Live from Studio Q here on WQLN Radio. I'm Brian Hanna. Thank you, everybody. Have a great afternoon.